What is up, Rundown Nation? I'm Woj.
And I'm Walt.
You are listening to the College Football Rundown, Week 5.
It's made it, Woj. They made it.
We've made it to Week 5. We've made it past all the bullshit. Some of them, not all bullshit, but most of it was bullshit, Walt. But now we've made it past. We're fully into conference play now, which is exciting. People are starting to get their buys out of the way. But we got a full slate of games this week. We got a Friday double ranked team matchup. Well, we got Utah and Oregon State, which is exciting. 8 p.m. Friday on FS1. You got some skin in that game. I know you got DJ Ungulele in that game going well.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because I want him to score a lot of points. But, you know, I like the Utes. Yeah. You know, I like Utah year in and year out. So it's going to be a tough game for me as far as where my loyalties lie.
It's gonna be tough. But last week, week four, we had some DFS. I shouldn't say struggles, but it was tight within our league. But yet again, there was many more points to be had out there. But James 0-3-1 with 175.20. I came in at 167.56 and Walrus at 165. Unfortunately, my quarterback went down in the third play of the game, which ruined my chances. I actually had a really good lineup. All the picks we picked last week were fantastic on the rundown. So hopefully some of you guys put those guys in, but James took the hot hand there, and Rashid Ali from Marshall, the running back, scored 32.40 points again. Guys rolling. He was only at 6K. So that's 185 per point. A little Boston College versus Louisville love in his roster. He had the quarterback from Boston College, Thomas Castellanos, 33.5, and he had Jawar Jordan, the running back from Louisville, scored 42.90. So combined, that was 162 per point, which is awesome there. That was well done in that game. DraftKings is doing a 12-game slate this week. That's throwing a little curveball. 12-game slate, so that's a little tougher. Gets a little narrower there on your margins and who people are picking up, and tournament play tends to get a little tougher there. You got to kind of find those diamonds in the rough. But 12 games late this week. Well, what are your thoughts on a 12 game slate? Do you like the little narrower area there? Or do you like it being a little wide open?
I mean, I'm kind of undecided. If I was doing this for real money, which I'm not, I know you do. Well, just as your area of expertise, I like the wee comment before on our picks. You know, if you're listening to our picks, I appreciate you including me in that. We all know that's you, my friend, giving them the good picks. But I don't know, for our smaller slate over here in our competition, I guess I kind of like it. Just gives me more options, makes it a little more fun. Get to pick players that you like rather than restricted games. There is one thing, though, I want to say about this rundown league. The past 2 weeks, that James Z, you know, that's the real Jay Z from Sports Betting Intel over there. Sports Betting Intel has been taking over this league. Mr. Woj, are you going to let that stand?
Hey, and last week was an outlier. I said I wanted to be in the top three at least every single week. And I don't know. I'm getting up there. I'm coming back. We're hopefully getting a win this week. It's going to be tougher. Again, I don't like these 12 game slates. I'm more on the lines with you. I kind of like it having a little bit more wide open, a little bit more picks. A little bit more of that looking at the injury reports to see if what I can do on some of these games that most people won't pick some. As far as a cash game goes, I think 12 game slates help. But as far as like a GPP, which is like a tournament play, it definitely makes it a lot tougher. But yeah, we'll get into some of these. It's definitely tougher. Into this week's games, we're going to get a little, before we get into this week's games, let's talk about last week's games. Well, Ohio State gets a walk-off TD against Notre Dame. I watched that whole game, man. That was a defensive battle, Wall.
Well, they technically kicked it off, which they did not have walk-off, sir.
That's true.
And I'm sure there's some people out there that are angry because had they had that walk-off, they probably wouldn't have kicked that extra point. And anyone that had that Notre Dame plus 2.5 would be a lot happier than they are right now. But on that football game, I mean, do you not have a pulse? If you're saying you didn't like this football game, do you not have a pulse? Because this was one of the most – this is why we love college football. Well, this is why we've been doing this podcast. I don't know how many years, not 12 years. This is why we've been doing this podcast for so long, because we love college football. And the reason you love college football, games like this, it was an incredible matchup throughout the game. You didn't know who was going to win it until the actual last second of the game, even then there's some question. You know, we're talking about inches. Ohio State comes away with the win at Notre Dame. They were a better team that night.
Yeah, they were. It was, and that was an incredible game. Yeah, overall, it was 17-14 was the end score there. Unfortunate for Notre Dame, they only had 10 men on the field the last two plays for Ohio State, which was obviously the touchdown play. Obviously not ideal situation there, but great game overall. Both sides played well. It was definitely a defensive battle. Ohio State showed me something that they hadn't shown me in a while, stepping up to the plate defensively like they did in a game like that. So, wow, it was that was an awesome game. We had Oregon. Well, before we even get to Oregon, because I guess this goes along with the Oregon game, Ryan Day had some choice words for a former Notre Dame head coach there. Well, that was a little exciting at the end of the game. He was fired up.
He was. I mean, I don't know why you go after Lou Holtz. I guess it's because Lou Holtz kind of went after his program a little bit and questioned their physical toughness, which is not something you want to do to a D1 college football program, especially in the Big Ten. But Lou Holtz said what he said. Mr. Ryan Day came right back at him in his not even press conference. It was just the interview right after the game, right? And he did not hold back words, I guess. Is it within? He didn't do anything wrong, but you don't normally hear a coach like talk like that after the game. He went right after Mr. Holtz, and let him know, "You are wrong, sir. We are a physically tough football program, and we are in the top tier."
Yeah, I mean, there was just nothing wrong about it. I mean, Lou Holtz called him out, so he can call him out too. But man, with the aggressiveness, and it's part of the game and just the ending like that. But it sounded like he wanted to fight him. Like he was ready to throw down the boxing glove. Yeah,
he'd probably win that one.
89-year-old Lou Holtz. Oh, he's man, ready to go.
Take him down. I have my money be back in Mr. Day.
Yeah, he's like, "Where's Lou Holtz right now?" And I'm like, "Oh boy, hold on there, Ryan Day."
Yeah.
But anyways, then we had Oregon, who did blow out Colorado, and the big thing there was Dan Lanning said, "We're in it for wins. Colorado's in it for clicks." But they did blow them out, 42-6, and man, that wasn't even a close game. While the Oregon defensive line just made a mockery of Colorado offensive line, and Shedeur Sanders couldn't do an absolute thing that entire game.
No, and we'd talked about this, and I talked about it when I was on with SBI on their podcast also, that, you know, this Colorado team is so easy to fade in this Oregon football game. It was at -15.5 as the first line I got. And then on the reopen, I got -16.5 on the Ducks. And it's just, you know, you never want to say easy money when you're betting, but if there's easy money, that was the easy money to be made. The Ducks were just a far superior team. I didn't even watch a lot of the game. You know, I have like 8 screens over here, so I watch 8 different games at a time, and that didn't even make it on the screen because it wasn't much of a football game. But as far as a betting standpoint, I mean, we got to love that kind of opportunity we got, and it was great that the Ducks came through and just, you know, crushed them.
They did. Battle of the Pac-2, Wall. Washington State and Oregon State.
I see what you did there.
38-35, Washington State ends up beating Oregon State in a very close and competitive battle there. Surprised at the high scoring, to be honest. I thought the defenses would actually try to show up a little bit there, but Oregon State kind of ran all over their face for most of that game, and Washington State was just able to keep up and end up winning the game there.
Yeah, and that for the fans that didn't catch what I caught, you putting down there, well, the Pac-2 is a little pun on the Pac-12 now turning to just 2 teams in the conference, technically, Oregon State and Washington State. Obviously, they played. Anybody that wants to check it out, too, it's quite interesting. I don't know how good it is for college football, but all the litigation that's going on with these 2 teams trying to save their conference, it's interesting if you want to check it out. But as far as the football game on the field, what matters, what you and I care about, I was a little bit surprised. I thought one of the teams would take this away, and I didn't really expect it to be Washington State that came away with a win, but they did. They squeaked by Oregon State. I don't know. I we'll see this week how good they are of a football program when they take on Utah, because we know Utah is a good football program.
Yep, that's for sure. And then you have Arkansas versus LSU, close battle at LSU there in Death Valley, 34-31, Wall. Came down to a field goal that LSU ended up kicking. Arkansas tried to hold them on the line there, but it really was just a punch kick there that was easy. They could have Most people thought they could have just let him in for the touchdown, and then they have, what, probably about a minute 50 left to get back down the field and do whatever they needed to do, but it ended up being tight, and they didn't have any time left in the clock to do to rebound from that. So 34-31, LSU does win over Arkansas. Well,
that surprised me a lot, I'm not going to lie. I told so many people, no way, and I guess I was technically right, but it was pretty close. No way LSU loses this football game. Well, it came close. They almost lost that football program. But you remember the week before we had BYU, and people are saying, well, no one would expect BYU to beat Arkansas. Well, listen to our podcast the week before when we picked them to go straight up against Arkansas. That Arkansas football program, I don't know. They surprised me this week, but they did lose the football game. We'll see what they do against Texas A&M this week, especially with Texas A&M. I believe their quarterback's out. You probably know better than I on that DFS side.
Out for the year.
Yeah, there you go. So it's going to help Arkansas out a little bit, but I still don't know. We'll see if they can continue that aggressive play they had against LSU. I kind of question that they will.
Going into that, I'm just going to talk about some DraftKings for this week right away. Raheem Sanders, who's the running back from Arkansas, is kind of their big guy in the team, is only 5,600 this week, but the injury reports are saying he's trending up, and it looks like he's going to play. So if he's going to play, that's a steal and a must play in my book. Well, that's a steal, must play, 5,600 for Raheem Sanders, who's an electrifying player on that Arkansas team going against Texas A&M team that's been vulnerable. So that is just one of my picks for the DraftKings this week. But we're going to move into this week's games. Number 8, USC at Colorado, 11 a.m. on Fox. While we keep talking about Colorado, but this is just one of those games that they're going to fall into that trap like Oregon again. Well, I don't see much hope for Colorado here. I think they're going to score more points, but man, Caleb Williams is going to have a field day.
Yeah, he absolutely will. That defense is going to have an incredibly difficult time stopping that USC offense. It obviously comes down to, and I'm not saying if it doesn't come down to win, if they win the game or not, they will not win this football game, but it comes down to how close they can keep with USC by how their offense plays. You're looking at a spread right now of 21.5, which is actually a little better than the game that is USC minus 21.5. Obviously, it's a little better than the game against the Ducks. The Ducks went off as just a 21-point favorite. Now we got the hook. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, a hook is huge. You know, it's everything when you're a sports bettor. You want to take Colorado on the money line. It's plus 950. It implies their chance to win at 9.52% of the time. So just about one out of every 10 times Colorado plays USC, the lines makers are saying they win this football game. I disagree, but I'm not going to take the other side, minus 1,400 for USC. Over under the Woj, and you got to have some DFS players, I'm guessing, on your team with this number, 73.5.
We do. And you have the former Heisman quarterback winner in Caleb Williams. He's at $10,500. So if you want to take him, you have 5K left. A little less than 5K left per player for the rest of your roster. So good luck if you do end up picking him. Maybe he does well, maybe he doesn't. You have the number one and the number two highest salary players in this game, and Shadir Sanders is number two at 9,500. After his game last week, I wouldn't expect most people would pick him either. Again, if you pick those guys, more power to you if they do well, but I will not be picking either of those guys. But some people to look at here is USC does tend to spread the ball out quite a bit, but Brennan Rice has had a touchdown in every single game so far this season. He's only 6,300. Taj Washington is 6,400. I screwed that up, but Brennan Rice is 6,400. Taj Washington is 6,500. He's been probably the second most consistent point getter in that receiving crew. So it's either Brennan Rice or Taj Washington you're looking at here if you want to get some action in this game. I would probably gear more towards just Brennan Rice, just in that consistency. But Taj Washington has done a decent job, so it's really a coin flip there. If you want to spend the cheaper money with Brennan Rice, who's got at least a touchdown every game, go for it. So that's a pretty good price for a team that's going to likely score a lot of points, Wall.
Yeah, I'll take your word for that. I mean, I'm still questioning if I'm going to pay up that money. You said, how much do you have left if you take?
You have a 5K per player left if you 5K, were to take oof. Caleb Williams.
That's tough.
That's tough. Good luck filling that roster. You better know some people that I mean, I combed through this slate and I cannot find those 3,500 players that would make me some money. In a cash game, absolutely not. In a tournament play, maybe. It's one of those things where he'll probably low percentage own just because of how high his salary is, and then you can fill a roster around him. But man, there's so many other good options in this spread or slate at a decently middle of the range price above 5K that I just don't think you can fit him in there. The math just doesn't work out. No matter what, if he scores 50 or 40, it still doesn't work out. So there's other options in the slate. So we'll keep working our way down. But while we got number 24 Kansas heading to Texas, Wall, we got number 24 Kansas at number 3 Texas, 2:30 p.m. on ABC, Wall.
Yeah, it's not a game you want to sleep on. We saw a couple years ago where Texas did sleep on this one, right, Woj? And Kansas took them down straight up. We're not talking about covering the spread. We're talking about Kansas Jayhawks taking down the Longhorns. I don't think that happens this year. That's not where my money would be. But the spread right now, minus 16.5 for Texas, minus 800 on the money line if you want Texas. You want to go to the other side, I'm looking at sportsbettingintel.com right now. They got the best line for Kansas over on Caesars Sportsbook, plus 600. So you bet 100, you're getting 600 back in your pocket if you think Kansas gets that upset again. I mean, it's an interesting game because you got to remember some of these games, Texas and Kansas, they might not play again, Woj, for I don't know how many years. Maybe they get a lucky, you know, bowl game against each other. But with Texas moving over to the SEC, these are games you're not going to see anymore. So, hey, enjoy them while they're last. As far as sports betting, I don't know that I'm going to be putting any money. Actually, I know I'm not going to put anything on this one. I am going to be watching the Texas football program. I'm going to be cheering for them. I think the fact that they're just pretty good on the line, Woj. If you look at their line yards, I'm on an advanced statistics page of this game breakdown, game preview on Sports Betting Intel, and it showed me line yards per play at 3 yards for Texas. That's good. Kansas defense, 2.94 per play. Not so good. That means you're getting first downs every time you're going through, getting a touchdown. That's what Texas's offense does. I think that's what they're going to do in this game.
Yeah, you're looking at Kansas as their best players as being Devin Neal, which is a running back. He is only at 6K, but again, struggled versus BYU last week that they ended up beating 38-27, but still, they let Keaton Solvis just light him up for 30 of 51, by the way, for 357 yards. I am pretty sure that Quinn Ewers is going to do a lot better than that if they were just to pass the ball the entire game, kind of like BYU did. So I'm looking at this game. I'm seeing Jalen Daniels isn't going to be able to keep up. Devin Neal's not going to be able to keep up. We're looking at Texas, an easy win here. Worthy is just one of those players too that if Quinn Ewers wanted to, he could throw it to him every single down, and he's going to have a chance to get that 50-50 ball or even a 25% ball if he's double coverage. So I love Texas in this spotlight. Kansas will not be ranked next week. This is a Texas win for sure on ABC. We'll tune that in. This is one of those games where Quinn Ewers can really just dominate. Now, I'm looking forward to watching that game just to see what he can – what more he can do and what more he can show me, Wall.
Hey, I love it, Woj. I'll be watching the football game. You know that. Actually, I shouldn't say that because you know I like to listen to the college football games for Texas a lot. So we shall see. I'll be watching or listening either way.
All right. Moving on, we have Boise State at Memphis, 3 p.m. on ESPN2. Wall, why did I put this on the list for this week?
Why did you, Woj? I don't know. It's difficult for me to answer that question. I mean, I'm guessing it's a high over-under. Maybe is that the reason for it?
It's a decent over under. So right now I think it's sitting at 60, but it's pretty tight game. It's 31-75 for Memphis, 28-25 for Boise State as far as implied points. But the battle of the multi-purpose running backs is the reason for this. You have Blake Watson from Memphis and you have Ashton Gentry from Boise State. Watson is 6,500, Gentry 6,800. These guys are the offense. So Watson is 40.3% of the rushing share, 16.8% of the target share for an average of 27.4 points per game so far this year. And Gentry is 51% of the rushing share and 16.3% of the target share for 36.3 fantasy points per game. These are two teams that defensively are not very good. They're on the top of the slate as far as yards given in the pass game and yards given in the rush game. So I would look for both of these guys just to dominate. I mean, you're looking at a $13,300 wrapped up gift package there in the running back, who average right now points per game 63.7. That's 209 per points right there. $209 per point right there if they just hit their average. But I think they can both go over their average if they need to. But I mean, you just look at Gentry from Boise State, 36.3 points per game average so far this season. He is their offense. So if you can jump on him at 6,800, do it, because there's a lot of worse plays you could make out there this week. Well,
hey, I like it. I like your logic. Honestly, when you asked me that question, why did you put this game on the list? I had no idea, which I did not know. But I'm looking through the lines for this one, and Boise State plus 3.5. You got to like Boise State as a dog. I know they're giving up a lot of points. They're getting up 30. You just mentioned how their defense wasn't so great. I'll tell you, points per game opponent, 30.75 of a point. I mean, that's a lot of points that they're giving up, but they have played a little bit of competition. Memphis, a football team I don't know a whole lot about this year. I haven't got to watch them. I just kind of like the dog in this one. And if I'm going to pick the dog, if I'm going to pick Boise State, I'm probably going to say, you know me, Woj, I'm going to say the hell with the points. Jump over to the money line, take them. I'm looking at the game board. I put in a $200 bet. Watch where you're betting. I mean, if I put this on FanDuel for $200, I'm getting $300 back in my pocket. If I go over to somewhere like Bet Rivers, I'm seeing this all on the game board there, Woj, for sportsbetintel.com. If I go over to Bet Rivers, I'm only putting $260 back in my pocket. $40 more just by picking the right book. I mean, come on. I'm going to take Boise State, I think, in this one. No, I think. No hedging you say. I'm going to take Boise State money line on this one. I'm going to do it over there on FanDuel because it is the best line as of right now at plus 150. Hoping to put that 300 back in my pocket, Woj.
All right, I like it. We're going to move on to number 13, LSU, heading to number 20, Ole Miss. 5 p.m. on ESPN. Well, I think the score of this game last year was something in the along the lines of LSU in the 30s, and I think Ole Miss in the low 20s. But we did just see that LSU team kind of struggle against that Arkansas team at home. So they're going to be traveling to the cowbell capital of the world in Ole Miss. So we'll cowbell and golf ball throwing capital of, of college football. So we'll see how they can do here. Well,
I don't know that it was Ole Miss though that was doing that, was it, Woj?
It was not. It was Tennessee. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, I believe it was against Ole Miss.
It was against Ole Miss. But yeah, that was Tennessee. The damn Tennessee fans.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Woj. They're not my favorite cup of tea, except for the ones that listen to this program. I love them, Woj. Let me tell you, Ole Miss in this football game plus 2.5. You're not getting that extra half point. You're not getting that field goal for a push. You want to take them on the money line plus 123 for Ole Miss under over 67.5 in this one. I don't know, Woj. LSU is a football team that just has baffled me since 2019, really, back when they won the national championship. And I remember vividly because it was one of the last times we couldn't just go on to a sports book and place our bets. We had to figure out different ways to do it. Maybe go to Vegas. You knew a friend that was going to Vegas. Maybe you knew somebody else to get a bet for you. But I remember giving the real Jay-Z my futures ticket on that LSU 2019 football program to win the national championship. They did. One of the greatest bets I've made in my life, paid off very handsomely. But since that point, I have not been able to get a handle on this LSU football team. You don't know what to expect on them week in and week out, Woj.
Yeah, Malik Nabbers. I know what Malik Nabbers is. Yeah, Nabbers is an amazing wide receiver. Probably, I'm going to say he is the best in college football right now with what he can do with the ball. In a one-on-one situation is just it's NFL level for sure. I don't know who else you could put him up against. Xavier Worthy, maybe. Marvin Harrison, who's supposed to go number two in the draft as far as a lot of the boards go, but we'll get to him in a little bit. But Malik Nabbers is good. I think he is the X factor in this game. I think LSU does pull it off again. against Ole Miss. As much as I don't like Brian Kelly, I think Brian Kelly does do a decent job in those tight games. He likes those situations, and his team pulls through. So I'm going to take LSU in this one. I think it's going to be closer than what Vegas is saying, though. Well, I mean, 3 points.
It's going to be a one-point game, you're saying?
It could be, Wall. This is going to be a tight game. I think Ole Miss is not bad this year, but LSU, man – Put them on the offensive side of the ball with Malik Nabers at the end of the game, and I'm sold. I'm putting money on it, Wall.
Yeah, I guess if you had to twist my finger, twist my arm, whatever you call it, I'd probably be taking LSU. And I'm normally a money line guy, but I probably would take the points just in case it is that 1 point game or 2 point game for that matter, because you're getting two and a hook at 2.5. They're dogs, or I'm sorry, they're favorites. I got that backwards. I mean, I hate betting the favorite this year, Woj. I just hate doing it.
Yeah, don't blame you. Favorites suck.
Yeah, favorites suck. Dogs rule.
Dogs rule. All right. Number 11, Notre Dame is playing at number 17, Duke, 6:30 p.m. on ABC. We haven't talked much about Duke, but we've talked plenty about Notre Dame. But Duke's been in kind of this rise while they've been chugging through some teams, but the competition hasn't necessarily been all that great that they've been playing. So is this overhype, or is this really going to be a close game?
I mean, Duke is a good football program. I think the concern is that Notre Dame has a little bit of a hangover from that huge, I mean, monstrous game they just played at home, and they couldn't come through with the win. They win that game, I'm guessing this spread right now, we're talking about like a 5.5 point spread in this game, depending where you're betting it. Make sure you choose the right book. I think that's a touchdown if Notre Dame wins the last game, maybe even more. But the problem is I don't want to discredit Duke, because they're a good football program, right, Woj? They're 3-0 against the spread this year so far. They've just been, you know, outperforming what people expected from them. Plus 180 on the money line. That's the only way I would go with this game, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put my money on Duke. I think the Irish come away with a win in this one.
Yeah, you have Benjamin Morrison, the sophomore cornerback from Notre Dame, who man-pressed Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. did get hurt, but he still had 7 targets. He only caught 3 passes for less than, I think, 30 yards. So Notre Dame defense gets the job done here easily. I think they look forward, not backwards, with their leader there in Sam Hartman. I think Notre Dame takes control of this game quite handedly. I mean, just some stats. They have 29 wins over ACC opponents. They've covered the last 9. They're 5-1-1 against the spread versus ranked opponents. Under Freeman. So I think Notre Dame handles this pretty easily. 5.5, I don't think, is nearly enough, but I get it. There's a lot of hype about Duke. There's a lot of skepticism about how they come back from that loss, that last second loss against Ohio State. But that team was a playoff team playing another playoff team last week. And Duke is not one of those playoff teams. So I think Notre Dame handles this pretty easily, Wall.
Yeah, I mean, I'm back, and I shouldn't say with money, because I don't think I'll put money on this one, but I'd definitely be backing Notre Dame to win the football game. An interesting tidbit, though, Woj, the lines, like some of the line makers that open the lines, they do real opening lines. They had this one actually right now. You can, if you want Duke, a good line, you can get them at, it's about plus 175. They actually had Duke opening shorter odds than that at plus 148. So plus 148 is not that big of a dog, Woj. And the lines makers, the people that know what they're doing, had them opening there. So it baffles me a little bit in the fact that I agree with most of what you said. I do think Duke's a good football program, but why do the people that know best in this world open that line at plus 148? I don't know what I'm missing in this one. I'll just stay away from it.
All right. A couple other guys just for DraftKings for everybody for this week. Isaiah Williams, the wide receiver from Illinois. Yes, I'm picking an Illinois person. He's only 5,700. He's got 36% of the target share. Purdue's given up the 3rd most yards in the slate in the air, 2nd in points in the slate. Williams had double-digit targets in his last 2 games. Look for him to be an impact player in that game. And yes, I know it's a Big Ten game, but 5,700 is pretty cheap for a wide receiver getting double-digit targets in a game. Tyler Warren, who's a tight end from Penn State. He's only 4,500. This is kind of your cheap tournament play. It's a good way to get involved in this game, especially in a Penn State team that's supposed to light up an Ohio State team and actually be, I'm trying to see what their over under is here, well, but it's fairly high considering the game. I can't find it right now, but it's high. Oh, yeah, 36.75 points is the implied points for Penn State. He's had four TDs in the season, so there are TD plays set up for him. There's another tight end they give passes to, but he is the tight end that's been getting the touchdowns, so the plays are set up for him. And at that price range, if he just scores a touchdown, you're already in the golden money there. So in a game where Penn State should just roll, I'm looking for him and those set up tight end touchdown plays to be the guy. So look for Tyler Warren, even though he's a tight end, especially with how cheap he is at 4,500, to be a impact player this weekend. Well,
I heard you taking, and one thing I'll say, the reason you probably had trouble finding that total is because here in Illinois, we can't bet at Illinois football team. So actually while you were talking, I was trying to look for the Illinois line and I don't have it in anything. I'm guessing it's right around a pick 'em somewhere around there. I wasn't able to find it actually. There you go. That's how it goes. But I will say you're picking an Illinois player on DFS side. It scares me a little bit, Woj, because I told you before how these SBI guys are starting to take over our league. And now you're telling me you're taking somebody on Illinois football team for your DraftKings team. I mean, am I missing something?
Double digit targets and a point per reception. DraftKings is, I mean, there's something to be said about that, Wall. I mean, that's double digit targets. So
hey, here's what you do.
Know.
You take your winnings, you double them up, you bet on the Bears on the money line this weekend. There you go. Same logic, Woj.
Oh God. Okay. What a showcase of the shit shows there, but we're not an NFL podcast. We're a college football podcast. So we will get into our picks. I got dominated last week because Coastal Carolina couldn't find their ass from their left hand. I don't know the good analogy there, but they were terrible. You had App State, which was a push. So you're 2-1-1. I'm 2-2. Wall, who are you taking this week?
Yeah, I don't like the push, Woj, but I don't. Were you watching that App State game or no?
I did a little bit of it. I watched some highlights too. So yeah.
At the end, they were driving and they weren't playing so well. So I was kind of hoping like, hey guys, just turn it over or something so that we can get a push on this one. Cause if they went into overtime, I probably wasn't looking good. He threw an interception, got the push. I'll take it. Hey, Woj, not this week though.
So we're even now, you know, I had my Oregon. Yeah. We're even. I had my backdoor Oregon. You got backdoor App State. So we're even on that. You got the little extra one at the end of your record this year. I had the one at the record last year with a push. So who are you taking this week?
This week I'm taking Florida. It's going to be a win. It's going to be a W. Let me get those plus two over there on Bet Rivers. I just think this Florida football, I know nobody agrees with me. Nobody likes Mertz. I get it. But I think this Florida football team is pretty good. I'm not saying they're the old Tebow Gators, you know, when they had Urban Meyer and stuff, but I do think they're a good football team. I think Florida goes in there and I think Florida, you know, handily takes down Kentucky possibly, but I only need them to cover two.
Yeah. Getting two is pretty nice there for Florida. So, but I'm going to take Notre Dame. We talked about the 29 straight wins over ACC covered in the nine straight, and 5-1-1 versus ranked opponents under Freeman. They're 5.5 at -110 on MGM. All day, Wall. Bet the house.
Bet the house, huh?
There's another one here. If you want to flip this and you want to do a same game parlay on DraftKings, take Notre Dame on the money line. You're obviously not getting great odds there, but then take the 3.5 team TDs over. You're getting a plus number there. Then you can put a small amount, win more money than you bet. So again, if you're into parlays, that's not a bad parlay in the same game parlay, Wall.
But there's a couple things I want to make. To clarify, you're taking Notre Dame on the points, right, Woj?
Yeah, -5.5. That's my pick'em. Okay. -5.5, -5.5, -110 MGM. -120 is a little too much for a 3.5 team total, even though I would take that individually as well. But I'm going to take the -5.5 with Notre Dame at -110. I'm going to take a little extra cash there on the win.
All right. I like it, Woj. I'm going to have to put some money on you. I lost it last week. I lost it hard. Wasn't too happy about it. One thing I want to bring up, though, is you mentioned how well Notre Dame's been doing about covering. I will say it depends what book you're betting because, you know, last week, and you and I talked about this on the program, we let our viewers know, make sure you're picking the right book because you could get it at +3.5. That's the big difference between last week taking them at 2.5. You lost that bet if you took them at the 2.5 versus the 3.5. So you're obviously quoting the last covering coming through with that 3.5 number, which they did cover that number. Always check your books. Always check tools like our partners over there at sportsbettingintel.com. The whole difference, the huge difference between a win and a loss, just taking that right book.
I'm going to just look at your app state with the push.
Get out of here, Woj. Get out of here. Who's let's look at the leaderboard. Can you quote the records again, please?
All right, it's 2-1-1 to 2-2. So thank you. Technically you have the lead there with a push. No issues left. You know, you left a week out there. So all right. Rundown Nation, I'm Woj.
I'm Wal.
And this was the College Football Rundown. Rundown Nation, thanks for listening to our episode. You can catch all of our podcasts and information on www.collegefootballrundown.com. We have upcoming games. We have SBI information on there. They're a big partner sponsor with us. If you want to sign up to their website, please use code RUNDOWN when you do that. It helps us out. It helps them out as well. But so much good information on that website. So please check them out. Please check our website out. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram is college_football_rundown. Please take a look, take some time. We do our weekly DraftKings League, so make sure to get in on that. All the information for that is on our website. Other than that, I'm Woj.
And I'm Wal.
And we are now definitely out. Thank you for listening.